Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
It's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I am coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, and it is a very mysterious place in here currently. There's a lot of mysterious stuff going on in the world at the moment, and to try and figure it all out, I'm bringing back a guest that we have had before, and incredible. You guys, this is like a 30-minute interview, and it is amazing, okay? But before we get to that, let's thank Just Thrive. Just Thrive is our sponsor, and we love them for so many reasons. As you know, I am very, very, very keen on companies that are popular for their purity, their efficacy, their customer service. You reach out to them, and they're amazing. You know, I just love them. And now they just keep coming out with these incredible products that surpass anything available. And I love them. So you need to check out my favorites, which is I just got off their Immunity Plus. I did a couple of bottles, not a couple of months. It was longer than a few months of the Immunity Plus. And I just love it. It was great. I felt like it kept me super, super healthy through the winter. So I loved that Immunity Plus very, very much. But I think that the core products that I think if you're going to get something from them, you should get the probiotics, the spore-based probiotics, the vitamin K2, the Precision Prebiotic, and their Ultimate IG. And the reason I say that particular grouping is because of the let's call it an epidemic of leaky gut, shall we? We know that if you have any kind of autoimmune condition, chronic inflammation, you have any kind of non-communicable disease like diabetes or heart disease or any kind of kidney issues or gout or arthritis, any of these imbalances that you are dealing, or chronic stress, let's not forget that, you are dealing with some level of leaky gut. And that's where it begins, friends. That's where we start, is at that point. So we have to remediate and heal the gut and nourish the gut before we can worry about thyroid and worry about metals and worry about parasites and worry about all these other things. So hello. So go to justthrivehealth.com and use your coupon code, because you're going to get 20% off, and that's amazing. All right, so I also wanted to remind you about ProHarmony, and if you want any information about these products, just go into the show notes and you can see them there. I've also set up a link tree in HealthyGutGirl_Instagram, and it's very, very cool if you know anything about Linktree. It just kind of consolidates all of my favorite products and the discounts that you can get within the Linktree itself. So go to my Instagram, click on the bio, and there it'll just be all set up nice and sweet for Boy, yeah. All right. So this is Jennifer Margulis, PhD. I think you guys remember her from the Are You Addicted episode, which was like episode 73 back in the day. And we were talking about addiction. And she had wrote a book called The Addiction Spectrum. And she also wrote several other books. And I learned in this podcast, this episode, that she happens to be the daughter of Lynn Margulis, who was married to Carl Sagan. And she changed, well, you know what, I'll let her tell you. She brings it up at the end, which is really funny, but because I wanted to keep talking about it, and we had to go. So she has been so remarkable for me. She keeps me inspired, because as many of you know, I'm quite vocal on social media about my thoughts and views and research and science and everything that I am passionate about. And it can get me into trouble. And just when I start to feel like maybe I need to not be talking, I just go to her page, and she makes me look like a good girl. She's always in Facebook jail. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So, So the addiction spectrum, and now she's writing a new book. And what she brought up in the last episode that I had her on, at the very end, she starts to talk about vaccination. And we couldn't carry on. And that was a couple years ago, 2018. And then COVID happens, And I see her being super vocal about vaccine safety. She's not an anti-vaxxer, and she's very specific about that at the beginning of the episode. So anyway, without further ado, listen up. Okay, so let's start with this. So first of all, I'm on Facebook too much, and I unfortunately have painted myself into a corner because it's also a huge part of my business, and now I wish I could get away from it. But one of the things that I have on Facebook is a group called the Estrogen Dominance Support Group, and it has like 15, almost 16,000 members and like 10,000 active members. And just about a month and a half ago, one woman posted that she had just had the vaccine and the COVID shot, and all of a sudden she's having uncontrollable bleeding, and she doesn't know if one has to do with the other. She wasn't sure. She was just asking. And so then all these other women jumped in and said, yeah, like that's so weird that you mentioned that, because I had it, I haven't felt well, and now I'm having these crazy hormonal issues. Well, you know, there was literally 150 comments in there of women corroborating the experiences, and also, and then a couple of crazy people that jump in and automatically start attacking us for being science deniers and all this other stuff. And now it keeps going. At least once a week, some woman will post something like that. So what attracted me, and the reason I wanted you back, is because you're so vocal, you don't hide it, and you also handle it so well, because you can't really say much, because if you do, you're going to get into a fight, you're going to get attacked. But the way that you approach all of this is so impressive to me, and I want to know your stance, because you've written the vaccine-friendly plan, and we talked about that in our first interview, and your stance on vaccines. You are not an anti-vaxxer. Can you just talk about that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I believe that there is no such thing as an anti-vaxxer or a pro-vaxxer. And the reason why I say that, Kitty, is that I think that we all have the same goal, which is to have safe vaccines and to promote vaccine safety. So I'm definitely a choice-oriented person. I don't believe anyone should be coerced or forced in any way to get any medical intervention that they don't want, including vaccines. I do not believe that children should be excluded from school if their parents don't want to follow the, you know, CDC schedule. But at the same time, I believe in vaccine safety and safe vaccination, and I think that everybody does. But what ends up happening, which is what you were just describing, is that people who bring up questions about vaccine safety are somehow labeled as anti-vaxxers, or you said science deniers. And what I'll tell you is that we have, not just in your group, but we have now seen it everywhere. We've seen it in reporting to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, to VAERS. We've seen it now in some mainstream newspaper articles, and we've seen, you know, anecdotal evidence, but that means personal clinical experience of people getting blood clotting disorders and women having abnormal periods that start early post-vaccination. So this is a phenomenon that's happening right now as we speak with women of childbearing age, and there's no question that it's happening, and now we have to figure out what to do about it and what that means about the safety of these vaccines. Mm.
So what do you say to people, and we'll revisit the whole hormonal thing. What do you say to people who are like, well, my body, my choice, but if we don't get enough people vaccinated, then the vaccines aren't going to be effective, or it's going to cause the whatever we're trying to vaccinate from to mutate or have variants because not enough people are vaccinated.
Yeah, that's absolute. That's malarkey. It's just malarkey. And the reason why I say that is that, you know, if vaccines work, then if you get vaccinated, you're protected. So if somebody chooses not to get vaccinated, then they're not protected. And so the only person who's going to have a problem is the person who chose not to do it. It's not going to have a negative effect on the entire vaccinated population. If vaccines don't work with the efficacy rates that we have been told, then there's a problem with the vaccines. That's not a problem with people's medical freedom or personal choice. That's a problem with vaccine efficacy. And we are having a big problem with vaccine efficacy when we're talking about these COVID-19 vaccines. Why do I say that? Because you can go ahead right now and search on DuckDuckGo the term COVID vaccine breakthrough cases or breakthrough cases. And what you're going to find is you're going to find hundreds and thousands even of anecdotal reports of, or newspaper articles of, quote, breakthrough cases. So that's where somebody's been fully vaccinated, waited the 14 to 21 days, and then got a positive test for COVID. Now, that's not because this COVID virus is so strong, it breaks through, which is how the newspapers are spinning it. That's because the vaccines are actually failing. So instead of the headlines, which would be the accurate, scientifically accurate headlines, would be 100 more cases of vaccine failure, Kitty, we're getting these headlines that serve the pharmaceutical industry that say COVID breakthrough cases. And the spin is unbelievable. And it's very, very frustrating to those of us who have scientific integrity and who are trying to get the bottom of to the bottom of what's actually going on.
And speaking of the bottom, what could possibly, now I have my own, you know, speculation about what is going on, but you know, just to the average person out there who's, who doesn't know about Agenda 2030 and doesn't know about these global agendas, what could be the reason? Because a lot of the argument, you'll have this really normal woman in the group who's a housewife and has two kids and da-da-da, and she's like, yeah, but why, guys? Why would the CDC and the WHO be spinning? Why would the paper, the media be spinning this stuff? Who's what's to gain?
Well, you know, I always tell people to follow the money, and you have to look at where the profits are coming from. We are talking about multi-billion dollar industries here. The more people get vaccinated, the more people make money. The truth is that if you do what you need to do to stay really healthy, and, you know, that's a, I can give you a long list if your listeners are interested in the kinds of things that really help us promote and support our immune system, right? Mm-hmm. If you do those things, basically nobody makes a dollar. If you do pharmaceutical intervention, vaccinations, if you're getting over-the-counter and prescription medication, you are contributing to big medicine. And, you know, I actually believe, and I may have said this before on your podcast, that people have good intentions. I appreciate that mom who's saying, well, wait a second, nobody's out to hurt me. And I like to always see the best in everyone. And I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, these government officials are just completely misled. They actually believe what they're saying is true, in spite of the fact that the evidence is showing a very different story. I don't ever want to believe the worst in anybody. And I think that they do believe that this is the way to promote good health. But we got emergency use authorization for these vaccines. If there had been treatment for the vaccines, that emergency use authorization would never have gone through. So there has been a systematic effort on the part of public health officials and our government, I hate to say this, this is just a fact, to suppress any information that shows that COVID-19 is treatable. And that, you know, there are now hundreds, literally hundreds of doctors speaking out about this because the doctors are so frustrated. And they say, listen, you know, we were told when somebody came up with a COVID positive case, we're basically handing them a death sentence. Why are we not trying off-label drugs like we do with every other illness on the planet to figure out what might be effective and what might not? And why, you know, why is this information being actively suppressed? And those are very important questions. We had in Oregon doctors who told people to take vitamin D to optimize their vitamin D levels and to also start supplementing with vitamin C, two things we know will help support your immune system, were sent cease and desist letters and told that they could get up to $25,000 fines because they were not promoting like accurate medical advice. And I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, that it's hard to want to see the best or to hope for the best in our government officials, in our, you know, medical health professionals when stuff like that happens, because it starts to look like something nefarious is going on. When you have these, you know, well-respected, accredited, you know, elderly epidemiologists and virologists being blackballed and silenced over the last year and a half, and it makes you start to go, wait a second, what, there's something else going on here.
And I agree with you there. Although I will also say, in defense of the establishment, which is kind of ironic that I'm defending the medical establishment, but you know, there's something called the 17-year research gap. Have you heard about that? So basically with medical science, when you see things in clinic, so you get clinical evidence for something, or you publish research about it, it takes 17 years before it becomes implemented as practice in, you know, actually in the field with doctors. And so we don't have, you know, COVID-19 has been, we've been in crisis now for 13 months, and we can argue about whether the crisis was generated by our response to COVID or whether the crisis was generated by this virus that we've identified, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't have the 17 years. And, you know, unfortunately, people are so stuck in their system and they're so blinded that they're not realizing that they're actually doing a disservice to every person on the planet.
Unbelievable. It's very shocking. And, you know, just somebody that's on the sidelines watching all of these doctors who are going rogue, quote unquote, that are doing the, you know, ivermectin treatment and the hydroxychloroquine treatment and all this stuff and having incredible results. And then, you know, of medicine that has worked, yes, on other diseases, but, you know, they're showing this incredible anecdotal evidence and then it's still being denied. Let's go ahead and fast track this, skip the animal safety trials and jump onto this other thing that doesn't have 17 years of research behind it.
And I want to tell you an ivermectin story because, you know, ivermectin is an anti-parasite, and everyone listening already knows this, but yes, off-label use of it seems to be effective against, helping people get severe cases of COVID. And this is a good time to remind people that the issue is not the number of cases. So it's not, the problem is not whether you get COVID. The problem is if you have terrible, severe outcomes, if you have trouble breathing, if you have to go to the hospital. So, right. So we don't want, this is something that I think is left out of the public health conversation, which is that, you know, you can't really run away from viruses and bacteria. We cohabitate with so many bacteria and viruses and even, you know, even symbiotic worms. And, you know, that's part of who we are. We think of ourselves as human, but we're actually skyscrapers for bacteria and viruses mm-hmm. and other microorganisms, right? Mm-hmm. But so the use of ivermectin seems to be helping. So a family had their 80-something-year-old beloved go into the hospital with a severe case of COVID, and they asked the doctors in the hospital, this was in Buffalo, New York, and they asked, could we use ivermectin? And the doctor said no, and this family was very savvy, and so they sued, and they got a judge to, emergency lawsuit, they got a judge to force the hospital to let them use ivermectin. Sure enough, this 80-something-year-old woman was out of the hospital in 1 day, mm-hmm. or two days, So there was a wonderful article in the Buffalo News about this, and there was one article about her, and then there was a follow-up article. So I posted two paragraphs from the article. I did not post a commentary, and you know, because you see my posts on Facebook, that I can be quite snarky and quite ironic and, you know, very straightforward in my posts. But in this case, all I did was post two paragraphs verbatim from the Buffalo News story and the link, and I got put in Facebook jail and banned for 7 days.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And 7 days, that's a long one.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and the word that triggered the I like to call him algorithm, right? the word that triggered Al was ivermectin. So, you know, the robots, the big tech robots are going around trolling people who are writing, you know, fair and accurate information. I mean, I was quoting a newspaper article. I tried to get in touch with the Buffalo News because I thought that kind of censorship would be a good story. And unfortunately, I didn't hear back from them. I think we need to talk about this rampant censorship of alternative health information. And in this case, it wasn't even necessarily alternative, but it was health information that threatens the vaccine status quo.
Yeah, yeah, that narrative that they're forcing down our throats. You know, I got put in Facebook jail not too long ago. They kind of backlog stuff too. They kind of go back and say, oh, and you know, on April 3rd, you did this. But one of the things I posted was just, you probably saw it. Heck, I probably got it from your page. It was just a rendition of a cell. And it was the most accurate depiction. They literally use the word depiction of the inside of a human cell. And it was, they had used different types of technology to create this. And it was not real. It wasn't a photo. And I posted that with the comment. And I got put in Facebook jail, and they said that for 3 days, they said it was fake news. I was contributing to false news, and that it was not a photo. And I claimed that it was. I didn't even, I didn't even have a comment. It was just the actual, I reposted. It's unbelievable what's going on. It really is.
Well, and that big tech would feel like it's appropriate to be censoring information, and that somehow their robot fact checkers know more about the current state of science than peer-reviewed articles in scientific journals. Because by the way, Kitty, you post the wrong peer-reviewed article and you're going to get a slap on the wrist from Facebook or end up in jail as well. Yeah. So, you know, that all of a sudden we have no standards, but sort of an agenda that is not serving public health.
Right. Yeah. In your investigative journalism, what have you learned about these spike proteins? It's new to everybody, I think, most everybody. What have you learned about them?
I mean, that's the hardest part, is that we don't know what we're actually doing. I was talking to a COVID survivor today. That sounds quite dramatic. Somebody who's traveled a lot and had a very mild case of it. But because of all the travel that he does, he's been getting antibody testing. And he said that he kept testing positive for antibodies until 8 months after he had gotten the infection, and now he has no proof of antibodies. And, you know, what's fascinating to me is that when you fast track a vaccine and you do the trials and it takes just a few months, you only have information for a few months' duration. So we absolutely cannot make claims about the efficacy or even the safety of these vaccines without having done longer-term trials. And, you know, anybody who's worked in vaccine development will tell you that it can take 10, it can take even 20 years to develop a safe vaccine. So, you know, that is something that is really important to keep in mind. And, you know, another thing is that you were talking about your people in your Facebook group, and we know that there are endocrine disrupting ingredients in these vaccines. Mm-hmm. What are the long-term effects of this kind of endocrine disruption? I mean, so when somebody says that they're having really, you know, profound periods that are lasting for 2 weeks, or, you know, all sorts of bleeding, the concern there is that this could have an effect on fertility. And and I won't be able to give you all of the details, but there are chemists and microbiologists and even vaccine developers who are looking at molecular mimicry, and the concern is that the spike protein may be the same shape as two really important proteins that are found in sperm and ova, meaning eggs, and the placenta. So if that's true and the body is getting confused between the spike protein that it's starting to generate based on the vaccine and the actual proteins that we need for reproductive health, and that may be the explanation for why we're seeing miscarriages and terrible bleeding and other endocrine disruption post-vaccination, I don't know how long that would last. Nobody knows how long that would last, but it's very, very concerning.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. I wanted to briefly interrupt and remind you about Just Thrive spore-based probiotics, and I wanted you to listen to a quick clip of Kiran Krishnan, the celebrity microbiologist, talking about how important a diverse microbiome is and spore-based probiotics.
And the biggest issue with the allergies and all the crazy sensitivities, when you look at the prevalence rate of peanut allergies and environmental allergens, and the fact that asthma is now among kids is a pandemic, you know, all of these things are because of the loss of oral tolerance. The loss of oral tolerance means that what we used to be able to do is take in huge amounts of different, you know, proteins and antigens and things that, that people would now be allergic to. The immune system would be able to sample it. The bacteria within your gut would be there to help the immune system figure out, this is something you need to attack and this is something you need to leave alone. That's the process of immune tutoring. And that is lost when we lose the diversity in our microbiome.
Thanks for listening to Kiran Krishnan. If you want to use your coupon code HGG20 to get 20% off, just go to justthrivehealth.com and check out all the great things they have. And now back to the show. And, you know, another word that is new to a lot of people, and I know that, you know, you are an expert to many and to me, just so you know. So this is why I really want to speak with you about these things, to know what you know. The word shedding, you know, we're hearing that in the, just in the last 2 weeks. I think it's just become a household word now. And what do you have to say about shedding?
Yeah, I mean, this is fascinating. And I have to be full disclosure, I've been sort of racking my brains about it. I mean, we know that vaccines can shed, but the vaccines that shed are the live virus vaccines. So for example, measles is, we not only can measles shed the vaccine, but it can cause primary and secondary infections. And people weren't sure about that, but there's actually been some fascinating peer-reviewed science published about how you can cause measles with vaccine-induced strains, right? But you know, those are live viruses, and so this, of course, is not a live virus vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine. It's a vaccine that is working on a completely different mechanism. So when people have been talking about shedding, I've been just scratching my head. But I was just I just hosted a conference last Saturday, and there was a microbiologist there who talked about a mechanism by which these spike proteins actually may be shedding. So what might be happening, because so people, and I don't know if you've heard this too, Kitty, but people are talking about getting sick with COVID-like symptoms or having abnormal periods or, you know, other problems after they've come in contact with recently vaccinated people. Yes. So that's where the shedding question is coming up, right?
Yes.
And Dr. Brian Hooker, who's at Simpson University in Redding, California, suggested that it could be that because we actually are excreting in some way. So it would, I don't know if shedding is the right word, but that the spike proteins are actually being excreted in our, you know, saliva and our sweat and body fluids. And, you know, he has a theory about that, but I honestly, how can anybody know? Nobody can really know because we haven't been doing the testing and because all of this is so new. We just have to pay attention to this clinical data and, you know, this real world experience. I mean, in some ways, anyone who gets this vaccine is part of a global experiment because we just don't have enough information. They haven't been around long enough. So now that we're seeing these signals, that's what they call it in public health. Now that we're seeing these signals, we really need to pay attention to them and figure out what's going on.
It just seems like putting the cart before the horse, though. It's just so scary. What about the future? Like, what do you predict in your crystal ball? Like, do you, because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but every flu is usually some strain of corona, right? I mean, usually?
No, I think that the coronavirus is cold. It's like a cold virus. So it's not so much a flu, an influenza virus, but it's okay. The viruses that have these crowns on them are actually cold. So if you had said every cold is some kind of coronavirus, that would be correct.
Okay. And so we don't do an influenza shot. I mean, we do influenza vaccinations, but we don't do like corona shots, like when you get.
No, we've never successfully developed. This is another reason why, you know, thinking people are really worried about it and not buying the propaganda, if I can say it that way, because we've never successfully developed a vaccine for a coronavirus. And, you know, that I told you that this person has, you know, the antibody waned after 8 months. Well, indeed, we're seeing this in the newspapers that they're saying we're going to have to start doing boosters. So not only do you have to have two shots unless you're doing one particular brand, which is a one and done shot, but now they're saying in you know, in 12 months, but now it might be 8 to 12 months, you're going to have a booster. And then that would mean you'd have to have a booster theoretically every year, which is what they do with influenza. And of course, our influenza vaccines are the least effective of any vaccine. They vary from year to year based on what the components of the vaccine are. But one thing that we know is that the efficacy rates are very low. So this idea that we would then add, you know, a vaccine that we would have to do every year, I mean, I think it was Moderna that said it looks like they need to do two shots plus a booster in order for it to be effective. And Kitty, when information like that comes out in the mainstream media, you know what happens? The stocks soar. The stocks go way up. You see all of that information in the business section of the newspapers. You see it in the Wall Street Journal. You see it in finance. You see it in economics. And, you know, people need to ask the question, why are we talking about health information in the financial section of the newspaper? And the reason that's not a rhetorical question, it's because there's so much to be gained financially from these vaccines needing to be, you know, repeated year after year after year, that it's just a bonanza for the drug companies.
Well, aren't the vaccines free for the public now?
Well, they're being offered for free, but the government is spending literally billions of dollars buying them. They're not free from the companies. The companies are making hand over fist. I mean, take a look at their quarterly reports. And, you know, I like to say that these big pharma executives are laughing all the way to the bank. And they really are, Kitty. They're, you know, the amount of money that's been generated by all of this, it was a great return on investment. That's what Bill Gates said, is he's invested in vaccine technology, and he's so glad he did because he got such a good ROI.
Oh my goodness. It's just gutting. It really is shocking, and just that our health, and that we're an experiment. That's the byproduct here, is that everything's an experiment and everyone's being experimented upon. And,
yes.
You know, I just talked to a neighbor today, and she said that her son is finally going back to school, and he's 7 in in-person school, and it's the LA Unified School District. And he has to get COVID tested every single week. I didn't know that. They had literally to drive to the Forum and get in the parking lot of the stadium and go get in-car COVID tests so this child can go to school every single week.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, what is this doing to the mental health of children to every week have to consider, like, do I have a deadly disease, Mom? Like, do we have to check again to see if I have this deadly disease? And then for the future, every quote-unquote flu season, when vitamin D levels drop and the weather gets colder and people start to get sick, more sick, it's going to be just complete chaos.
It is.
Right?
Well, what's really disappointing is that COVID is not a death sentence. COVID is treatable. And, you know, the vast majority, I mean, so many people, children are going to have completely asymptomatic cases, and they're not going to pass it on to adults. We have a study out of China that looked at almost 11 million people, and they looked for asymptomatic spread. And you know how many cases of asymptomatic spread they found in 11 million people, almost 11 million? Zero. They could not find not one example of asymptomatic spread. So the idea that we would be, you know, terrifying our children, making them think that they might be sick when they have no symptoms, is just so disappointing and misguided. And the idea that we would say that we can't treat this illness is also disappointing and misguided. And I will tell you, I know a lot of people who have been getting their COVID vaccines because of peer pressure, or they felt bullied into it, or their families really wanted them to, and they do not believe that they should have gotten it, and they're suffering now from side effects, but they did it because they felt like they didn't have a choice. And if we make it so that you don't have a choice and you can't have a normal life without getting this vaccine, we make it very enticing to get the vaccine, which, you know, then we have a market and we have more sales and everybody's happy, except the health and well-being of our children and of our grown-ups and the outcomes of our, you know, of our health system end up tanking in the face of this kind of malarkey.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, at the beginning of all this last March, I said, I bet you anything they're going to mandate the vaccination. And then now we're, you know, cut to a year later. And I'm like, wow, they don't have to mandate it because your own family will, because your neighbors will, because your employer will. Yeah. Like they're going to enforce it, you know? Oh my goodness. Well, okay.
What I wonder, these are open questions, of course, is that, you know, some people say, well, we're really overplaying the negative side effects of these vaccines. So the people who are sounding the alarm are saying that, you know, these side effects are more deadly than they really are. And then on the other side, we have people saying that we're overplaying the danger of the COVID, of getting COVID, right? And so it's, you know, we're always trying to do a risk-benefit analysis and we're always doing the best we can. And it's very hard to get accurate information and to make good decisions. But I certainly hope that people who have concerns about vaccine safety are overplaying the potential side effects, because some of these side effects, I mean, to me, having a period for 2 weeks and bleeding through super maxi pads is terrifying, honestly, especially for women who want to have more children. And this idea that we may be messing with human fertility is something else that I find very disturbing. And everyone has to do their own cost-benefit analysis, but I would rather, you know, support my immune system, do all of the good things I need to do to stay healthy, and if I get COVID, treat it, then I would take a chance with an experimental technology that seems to be wreaking havoc on our endocrine system and, you know, and on our, you know, on our entire bodies and our fertility potentially. But I mean, that's my choice and I respect other people's choices. I think the key there is that it has to be a choice.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, both sides think that they're doing the right thing, right? They both think that they're erring on the side of caution, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But the difference is, I feel like, is with the, you know, the safety group is that we're saying, well, there's ways to treat COVID, both preventative, both, you know, during the acute phases and long haul COVID. There are things we can do to treat it. If you have an adverse reaction, whether it be mild or really severe or death, there is no recourse. We don't know how to treat you. There are no answers. And that is scarier to me. So that, right?
Yes, no, I agree with you. Sorry to interrupt you. I agree with you so much on that. And, you know, one of the things that I find devastating in this whole situation is that we're seeing really young, healthy people have really bad adverse outcomes to the vaccine. So, you know, I have a friend whose stepson got the vaccine because he's in his mid-30s, and he got it because he wanted to travel, and he had a heart event that night and he died in the hospital
wow.
the next day. And that was a healthy 35-year-old man who had his whole life ahead of him. And, you know, when I see, or the 33-year-old mom, you might have read about this in Pennsylvania, who got paralyzed and has been in the hospital ever since she got the vaccine. And when I see things like that happen, I think, wait a second, let's take a deep breath and maybe this isn't the right thing to do. And of course, on the other side, people say, well, it's so rare, it's so rare, it's so rare. But when it happens to your son, or it happens to your daughter, or it happens to you or your husband or your wife, it's 100%. It's not rare anymore. And I feel tremendous compassion for people who are being harmed by these vaccines. And I also feel, of course, tremendous compassion for people who haven't done well with COVID. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that we know, we can identify some of the groups of people who aren't doing well when they get it. And there are lifestyle changes and interventions that we can do to help, like you said, protect ourselves against getting a bad case of it.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, that was power packed. So what are you working on now?
What am I working on now? So many things. Right now I'm working on a book that's slated to come out with Houghton Mifflin Harcourt about the importance of bacteria. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the work of my mother, Lynn Margulis, who was a microbiologist who fundamentally changed our understanding of the mechanisms of evolution. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I got to sign up for that one. That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, my mother was married to Carl Sagan, the astronomer. So,
what?
Yeah, she was.
How did I not know that?
She was his first wife. They met when she was 16 years old and a sophomore at the University of Chicago. And he was coming down the stairs and she was going up the stairs. And they had, you know, this just total passionate love affair. And then they got married when she was 19, 3 years later. And they had my older brother when she was 21.
Oh my goodness.
But so it's also about her early life growing up on the South Side of Chicago, going to the University of Chicago as a teenager and, you know, her, and then also my relationship with her. So it's part science, part memoir, and part biography. And that's what's taking up all my time right now.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. That's great. Well, thank you for your time. And that was exactly as exciting and wonderful as I thought it was going to be. And I want everybody to follow you because you keep me not just entertained, but educated. And you keep that fire in my belly going because it's like we have to, it's like time. It's time to just stand up and speak for medical freedoms. And I just love your work.
Absolutely. To speak for medical freedom, to speak for medical choice, and to take back our health. I mean, the most important and exciting message, I think, is that we don't have to believe the propaganda, and we actually can. Our bodies are magnificent, and partly because of all of our microbial hitchhikers. But all the viruses and bacteria and other, you know, people think of them as parasites, but I want us to think of them as symbionts. They actually help keep us sharp and healthy and even in a good mood. There's some research that just came out showing that if you have a more diverse microbiome that you will have, that you tend to be more social, which I think is totally fascinating. But anyway, wow. That's an empowering message that you can, you know, you can take back your health and you can have the energy and clarity and good mood that you want to have. And you don't have to do it based on pharmaceutical intervention. You can actually do it with lifestyle changes and food as medicine.
Beautiful. You did this to me last time. You brought up a topic right before we closed that we could have gone on for another couple hours.
Sorry.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us for that powerhouse episode, man. She is incredible. And just keep an eye out for her her next book. I think that's going to be super exciting. How about that little bomb she dropped at the end? Oh, my mom was married to Carl Sagan. What? Anyway, check out the show notes. You can follow her on Facebook and Instagram and sign up for her newsletter. It's awesome. And don't forget about Just Thrive. Get that gut in order, friends. She's talking about supporting immunity, and it's all about the gut. So get on that. And if you have any questions about ProHarmony and hormones and balancing your hormones, feel free to email me or to reach out to me on Instagram, healthygutgirl_. And thanks so much for joining us.